Today I'm going to speak on the spiritual gifts. Pastor Aaron would like me to talk a bit more about the spiritual gifts. I know the last time I did mention briefly on the spiritual gifts, and then I had a workshop to do the spiritual gifts. So for those who attended the workshop, I think some of you are here, it may have a bit of overlap, but that's okay. You learn when you repeat things that are good. So apologies for those who attended the workshop, but you'll get an amplified version today. And for the rest of us, hopefully something in this session will stir your heart and bring about some fruits of the Spirit. We give you thanks, dear Lord. Let's ask the Lord. Yes, Lord, we give you thanks, dear Lord, for this time. We just pray, dear Lord, that you will unpack things for us and oh, that's a nice word, dear Lord. Unpack things for us. Unpack gifts for us. Take off the ribbons and unpack those gifts that you have specially reserved for your people today so that we can see and we can be glad that we have these gifts in our midst and we'll use it for your glory and to serve the needs of others. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to take from 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and also Ephesians chapter 4. So I will not be reading the whole passage, but as I go along, I will prompt you to read certain portions. So 1 Corinthians 12 and then Ephesians 4. Now, with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you need to do what you are best at. I say that again. With the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you need to do what you are best at, because when you do that, you will enter a zone where things will start to take off. You'll begin to enjoy divine energy, and you will be able to live your Christian life with power and passion. Not only that, you'll be able to live up to our vision statement to be an influence to the people in Perth as well as beyond, because you will influence and you will impact other people with the very active presence of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is energetic. That's why I was just thinking whether I should name the title today, The Energetic Church, because I don't want you to feel like you've got to, like, you know, cram up crank up a energy. But the Holy Spirit is actually energy. That's His name. That is His essence. And so I wanted to name this the topic, the energetic church. I believe that GCC is called to be that energetic church. To be that energetic church that have the gifting, the passion, and the influence. I don't think we want a church to get too busy and too competitive, only using natural giftings, like whatever you have, just use it. I don't think we want to get too busy. We also don't want to get too competitive. I was at Fuller Seminary for a course, and there was this leader that was sharing, and he said, you don't mind me, he said to the group. He said, I am a bit competitive, and my church is a bit competitive. I gather from that sharing, I guess if you get competitive and you get really energetic because you want to be competitive, then you will do and do and do, and you can get burnout. We're now reading a lot of COVID research, and Christian people are also doing COVID research, and they are saying that Christian leaders are getting very exhausted. And so we really need to learn from this COVID period as leaders or as believers to slow down so that we can replenish and we can innovate. So I don't want you to be busy and competitive just because I say the energetic church. All right. So how then do we stay in the optimum zone of gifting, of power and passion, and also of influence? Then that's where my prop comes in. You must take stock of what color zone you are in. So the first color zone is the color green. So, okay, so I'm going to stick all this out. You can see that I'm a teacher now. Someone was saying whilst coming to church, oh, this is a... I said, yes, this is a prop. This is an illustration. The teacher is coming out of me. You must take stock of what color zone you are in. And the first color zone I want to talk about is the green zone. And we have got some scriptures there. Let's read the scriptures there. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 11, and then 27 to 28. It says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. So there are some more miraculous gifts, there are not some not so miraculous gifts, but the same Spirit who is miraculous and supernatural distributes them. Yeah, okay, I must not be tempted to explain as I read. Okay, I'm going to just read and then explain. So there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of services or service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working. The working here, the root word is energy. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. God at work, the same word work is actually energy. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work. The work there, the root word is again energy. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. I'm going to show you a graph, and it's really interesting. I'm going to show you the graph. So let's have the graph. The green zone is that zone that I marked out for you out of the four quadrants. That one is the God, is the green zone, and in the green zone, I label it God things. I want to say that the green zone is where the active presence of the Holy Spirit dwells. Because it is in the green zone that the Holy Spirit distributes different kinds of spiritual gifts. And of course, the green zone is in the church. The church is where the Holy Spirit dwells. He distributes different kinds of spiritual gifts for us to do God things. Not just to do God things, to do God things in His energy, in His power, in His passion. So if I need to define spiritual gifts, then spiritual gifts are abilities that are empowered by the Holy Spirit for one purpose, to build up the church. So if the green zone in the church is very big, where all of us are using our spiritual gifts, then there is a lot of abilities going around in the church, and the church is being built up, being encouraged, being affirmed, being validated. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, it says, we are to strive. There are some things we cannot strive. Quarrels, we cannot strive to be the one quarreling the most. Complaining, we must not strive to complain the most. But here, we are to strive to excel in building up the church. So that's our priority. We need to learn how to be so good in building up the church, in encouraging the church, in making the church nourished and nurtured. You know about building up, isn't it? I've done three confinements in my children's lives, you know, two for one daughter, one for the other. Confinement is a month of food and drinks to make the woman who has just given birth very strong. I've done three. And I see how my daughters come back from the hospital looking like, because it's a big thing, giving birth. You know that, right, guys? Women, of course, we know. I'm asking the guys, right? Guys, you know, huh? It's a major thing. And so when they come back from the hospital and you give them all the tonic, not toxic, tonic food, and you give them all the chicken and the meat and the ginger and everything, ooh, you see the health being built up. Then you give them gifts, and then you've got people visiting. Oh, all these are gifts from the family, from the friends. They all come to encourage, to build up. So God, the Spirit says, look, I've got an idea for the church. I'm going to bring in my gifts so that you can use the gifts to build each other up. So your spiritual gifts are given to you to build one another up, is to help one another. And 1 Corinthians 12, 6 said, God is at work. So you're not doing this on your own. It's not just adrenaline, like, you know, you just go and help each other, encourage each other. No, it's God is at work in you. That means God gives you the energy to do it. And when God invites you into His work, you become the conduit. You become the channel. You become the carrier of God's energy. That's why it is so good for you to know what your spiritual gifts are. That's why the last time when I preached the first time on spiritual gifts, I gave you a questionnaire. And some of you have filled up that questionnaire. It's really, really important to know what your spiritual gifts are. You have spiritual gifts. In fact, this morning when I was driving down the street, I'm reminded, you know, as long as you call the Lord, Lord, as long as you call the Lord Jesus, Lord, you are empowered already by the Holy Spirit. You read that in 1 Corinthians 12. You're already empowered. You have the Holy Spirit in you. And you need to know what your spiritual gifts are. You have, but you need to know what, right? Because once you operate in your spiritual gifts, it will bring out the best you. And not only will it bring out the best you, you will bring out the beauty and the power of the Holy Spirit. And then you will bring out the best in other people as well through the activation of your spiritual gifts. Are you excited? Oh, I'm feeling energetic. Oh, this green zone is amazing. We have the green zone in the Holy Spirit. So some of the gifts that are listed in the two passages of Scripture that I was given to meditate on, this is not exhaustive. It doesn't share all the spiritual gifts. In fact, the Holy Spirit is so creative and so dynamic, He can reveal a lot of gifts to you. But there are some other gifts in the other scriptures that are more to do with practical helps, like serving, hospitality, admin, and so on. But in here, there are about three classes of gifts that I can share with you. The first one is some of you really will be endowed with gifts of the intellect. So don't say, yeah, you know, my mind is in the way. No, your mind is the channel, the conduit of God's power. You know, when I was doing psychology, people warned me, you know, wow, you have gone into the mind. And be very careful. And I'm very careful. I'm very cautious. I do not raise anybody from their chair into the air. I don't do those things, right? But the mind. Some of you are endowed with gifts of intellect. That's why in the scripture it says they have the message of wisdom. See? You have the message of knowledge. Apostles and teachers, those are people of the intellect, of guidance. Those are the gifts of intellect. Some of you, as I mentioned it, you may have already those gifts, right? Now, you have the divine gift. Some people teach, but you have the gift of teaching, meaning you really have the divine gift of being able to communicate the truths from the Bible. Then when you teach, people understand, they apply, and change begin to happen in their lives. So I like you, if you've got a gift of the intellect, to encourage and to build up the church. It can be to one person. You teach one person. It can be to a group, depending on the needs of the church. Let God bring you the opportunities. Of course, we want to be humble about it now, because a teaching gift is quite powerful, because you can reach a lot of people and you are articulate in the things you say, so it can be quite powerful. So you need to really be humble. Don't say, you know what? I actually have the gift of teaching and I should be the one teaching, not so-and-so, because so-and-so is not so interesting. I'm the one. Don't be proud. But also, don't wait for people to come and approach you, because sometimes people might not see you. Or people might not notice that you have got the gifting. So also don't wait for people to approach you to serve. Just initiate it as you feel the desire to do God's things. But always learn to wait for that moment where God wants to use your gift of intellect. Is that all right? But that's your green zone. That's where you go. Green zone means go. Go forward. If you've got a gift in that area, go forward. Some of you might not have the gift of the intellect. That's all right. The Holy Spirit got other gifts. And in there is the gift of faith, the gift of healing, the gift of miraculous powers, of prophecy, of distinguishing between spirits and being a prophet. Those are gifts of faith. They are more miraculous gifts. Just now I said this to you. The same God who is miraculous and supernatural gives both miraculous gifts as well as non-miraculous gifts. Some gifts you keep doing, no miracles happen. You just have to be faithful. Some you just speak one word, wow, the whole mountain move. Very miraculous, right? Doesn't matter, the same Lord distributes the spiritual gifts. But if you have the gift of healing, then learn to lay hands on the sick and the unwell and pray for them. The good thing about it is that you are not responsible for the outcome of that prayer. Don't feel, oh, I have the gift of healing, but if I were to lay hands and pray, I don't know whether the healing will come or not. That's not your responsibility. That is God's responsibility. But your responsibility is to lay hands and build up the body of Christ, yeah? And perhaps if you're not sure of the details, don't give details like you lay hands and you say, by next week, 12:15, you will arise from your bed and walk. If you're not sure, then don't say, right? Because then you trap yourself in saying that. And then you also reduce your faith. So what you do is you go to this person, lay hands, and say, the Lord wants to heal you, the Lord wants to bring recovery, and so on and so forth. But do not give details unless you are really, really sure. Or, and even if you are really, really sure, this is very important because we want to practice spiritual gifts appropriately and powerfully. Huh? Don't lay hands on people and say, thus saith the Lord. Wow. Very scary. I grew up in that era, you know, where a lot of people tell me, thus saith the Lord. Well, use King James English. Very powerful. King James English does not move God's heart. So don't say that. Say, I have the impression. I think that's really good. Because prophecy is a spontaneous utterance from the throne room of God, but you need to test it out. So you can be spontaneous and you say, I have the impression. And it's true. Most times you have the impression, right? You have the image, right? You have the idea, right? You've got the word, right? You're not sure, right? So say it as an impression. I have the impression that healing will take place for you next week. And then let the person test out the word of prophecy. And if healing happens next week, guess whose faith has increased? That person's faith and your faith. And then you pray for more people with other sicknesses and so on. Right? Some of you have got the gift of prophecy. I used to be very afraid of prophecy because, you know, when you prophesy, you've got to be accurate. You know, you've got to really hear accurately from God. Of course, you want to hear from God. I think for those who exercise the spiritual gift of God, you need to really walk with the Spirit, like our theme say. Walk with the Spirit, yielding ourselves, every part of us, to the Holy Spirit. We want to speak life into people, not just any sort of a message, right? But prophecy is actually sensing something. Just sensing something. As you're speaking to people, you sense something. And then you speak that something that God has put spontaneously into your heart or brought to your mind. And then you tell it as it is, as it's revealed to you in a validating way. That means you speak the truth, but in love. You remember I told you a friend who came to me after my holiday in Singapore, and my friend said, I had a word of prophecy from the Lord. I say, yes. He says, you know, I felt in my spirit that you've got an accident in your holiday. I remember I told you that one. And I said, thank God I didn't have an accident. And then he looked puzzled and he says, eh? There should be an accident. See? So his prophecy is greater than his love for me. He's hoping, well, not hoping, he's hoping that he's right. But in hoping that he's right, I get the accident, right? So we have to really be very careful that we prophesy to uplift people, not to bring them down. Yeah, we in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3, he says, he who prophesies, he who spontaneously bring a message from God to the needs around us, needs to do it for people's uplifting, need to help people to be encouraged and to be consoled. And that's why Paul says, I would rather you all prophesy. It's true, because we all need a word, isn't it? We come here, sometimes we are battered and bruised from whatever that's happened. And we come here, we want a word, a smile, an encouragement, a consolation to come from anyone. Anyone can give us a consolation, because all of us have the Spirit of God dwelling in us. And so we need to be bold. That's why it's a faith gift. You need to go, green zone, go, in being spontaneous. Don't say, you know, I don't know whether this is really God. If you have been praying and seeking the Lord and been very faithful in the church, be bold, be courageous, be taking the risk that you may be right more than wrong. But be cautious as well. Huh? Don't like be like my that friend who says you should have an accident according to my prophecy. Don't do that, okay? But I remember the other day, I was just talking with this person. I was listening. Sometimes, you know, we listen, and it's good that we listen. We've got a listening ear, that's good. But I think we also need to have a prophetic voice. Don't keep listening and take in everything and then go back and chew. Whereas the person who has shared with you has already gone jumping, leaping, praising God. And you are like, don't know whether this person has overcome that or not. Sometimes you need to have that prophetic voice to be spontaneous, prompted by God, and just saying it to encourage that brother. So that day I was talking to a brother or a sister. That day I was just talking. I was hearing him. And then I just sensed the Lord give me some words. And so I said, there need to be a closure. There was no closure before like that. He looked at me as though he was hit by something, like something hit him. So unbeknownst to me, of course, I didn't know that God was using me to do something like that, you know. I just speak those words. I say, you have no closure and you need to have closure and release and let go. And that became a prophetic word that the Lord used to stir the heart of that person that needs to let go of a baggage that is weighing him down. So you may have the gift of faith. You need to act on it. Green zone. Go. Get it? Am I making sense still? Can I still go through a bit more? Yeah. Others of you may have the gift of language. And this is, in the Bible, it says different kinds of tongues and interpretation of tongues. I've taught this before. I say, in a public meeting, let's not pray in tongues and until everybody don't know who is talking. If you pray in tongues, you need to ask the Lord for interpretation. You need to ask the Lord for someone who can give the word in English so that the people of God, as well as unbelievers, can come in and be encouraged that God really speaks today. Okay? One English word will be able to make sense to that person who is in our midst. But if you all pray in tongues and nobody interprets, then it's all praying in tongues, but nobody knows what's happening. It may be confusing. So pray in tongues at home. Paul says, I pray in tongues more than all of you. That means he pray in tongues at home more than a lot of us. Then when he is in the midst of the people, he interpret those tongues or let someone else interpret so that the message is really clear. So where the Spirit of God is, I would say there is a diversity of spiritual gifts. And we have known three classes of gifts here, but there is great unity. And that's why here in the scriptures, it says we are like a human body that is very well coordinated. The church will have a lot of activities. The church will have a lot of functions, but they are carried out in spontaneity, in power, in passion, yet in order. And that is when the green zone, go, 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 is operating very well, because it is a place of great glory. It is a place where the gifts are given to the people of God, and the people of God are thriving in spiritual gifts. Needs are met. People are built up. Energy is boosted. The energy of the Holy Spirit is translated into human energy so that we can do what God has called us to do. So I say to you, in the green zone, do not neglect the gift you have. 1 Timothy 4:14. Don't neglect it. Sharpen it. Boost it. Read about it. Learn about it. Practice it. And then rekindle the gift. Some of us have left some gifts unpolished, unsharpened. That's okay. If the Lord still speaks to you that that is your gift, rekindle it. Rekindle the gift of God that is within you in 2 Timothy 1:6. Amen? Amen. Next color zone you need to take stock of is the amber zone. And the amber zone, if you read traffic lights sign, is to pause, all right? To pause. You really need to pause. You don't charge. You can get caught. You need to slow down and pause. And we want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 16. Just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. I'm going to show you the graph again. This time I'm going to shift a bit of quadrant. And now I have labeled the amber zone or the amber quadrant good things. Good things. Some of us do God things. Some of us do good things. This sermon is not to condemn anyone if you are doing whatever thing, but is to encourage you that there are things that we can pursue after that are God things. If you operate outside your gifting, right? So you've got gifting, but if you operate outside your gifting, but in areas you like to serve, you just love to serve in those areas. You just love it. You're not called to those areas, but you like those areas and you serve in those areas, then you're able to accomplish good things. All right? The thing is this, if you are only doing good things for the Lord, then you will not reach your potential impact in ministry because the Lord has got things for you. So if you keep doing good things, then no time to do God things. So I remember when I first came to the church, I really enjoy teaching children. So I signed up with the children's church. I was a junior school teacher. I was also a senior school teacher. So I love to be able to be a part of early childhood spiritual education for our children. So I signed up. I volunteered. I like to serve there. I still like to serve there because I'm also trained in that area. But God calls me to pastoring. And I realized I got to give up one good thing to do another God thing. So some things God gives you for one season, you may need to change it as the Lord tells you to. Because if you don't, then you will keep doing the good thing and then you can't pursue the God thing. You understand what I'm saying? So good thing, remember that. Because God delights, see, God has no shortage of gifts, all right? He delights to lead us, to guide us, to mold us, to refine us, to shape us, so that you can become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's found in Ephesians 4:13. So that's what God wants us to do, to mature into His fullness. But if we keep doing things we like, we keep staying in our comfort zones, and we don't want to learn to take the risk of venturing out, then we actually have shortchanged God's plan for us. So here the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, if the foot keeps saying, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. So if you are this person who keeps saying, no, I don't want to serve. I don't want to serve because I don't belong. Or I don't want to serve because I don't feel belonged enough to serve. That does not mean that you are not part of the body. You're still part of the body, except that maybe you are inactive. So there are two extremes we really want to avoid. One is you don't do anything. The other is you do too many good things. All right? Because if you have too many good things, if you eat too much good food, what will happen to you? You figure it out. You know, when you eat good, I remember I was at a place where I ate really good food because my daughter likes to give me a treat, and we went and we ate, and she gave me a term. She says, "Mom, did you experience food coma? I've never heard that before, but I've experienced it. Like you come back and your whole body is like soft because you ate too much. Body cannot process." So too many good things also no good. Now, doing too many good things fill up your calendar, but it takes away the strength to do what God actually wants you to do. So you've got to take care of your life, all right? If you're in Amber Zone, a lot of good things to do in the Amber Zone, you need to pause. You need to pause to take stock of your three principal assets. Your three principal assets, number one, is your time. All of us got 24 hours, and you need to know what to do with the time. Some people say, I don't have time to do a lot of things. Maybe you didn't make the time. I'm guilty of this. Don't look at me as though I've arrived. I'm guilty of this. I don't do certain things not because I have no time. I didn't make the time. But that's your asset. That's very important because time is given to you. You use to be accountable for. The number two asset is this. Number two asset is your energy. Of course, we have young people here. Young people's energy, limitless. They got a lot of energy. But the day will come where you find your energy not so limitless. It's limited. Like now, if I'm staying downstairs doing my thing, I try to do everything downstairs so I don't have to go upstairs and downstairs and upstairs and downstairs. Energy is limited, but it's your asset. Energy is limited. If you keep doing things that are only good things or things that you like to do and it's not of greater benefit to a lot of people, then perhaps you need to pause, take stock of your energy, because you need to start focusing your energy on those God things. And the last asset is your priorities. How do you know how to manage your time and your energy? You need to decide how you're going to spend your time and energy. Because those are your priorities. Because you can't do everything. How many of you realize that? Can I see your hands? Exactly that. You need to have priorities. Priorities are like what this professor said. to the student. He says, I want you to, you see this jar here? He says, okay, I want you to fill this jar. And of course, the not very experienced students will fill the jar with a lot of sand. So all the sand went in, fill up the jar. And then the professor said, well, what about the rocks? Yeah, never thought of it. They should have put the rocks first and then the sand later, isn't it? Then you can really fill up the jar because the rocks, once the sand is full in the jar, you can't put in the rocks anymore. But if you put in the rocks, you cram the jar with all the rocks, you can still put sand in between. So same thing, your priorities are like your rocks. You put the rocks in the jar first. You put your priorities first. Those that you need to do first, you put them all in first. Then those that are not so important, those that are good stuff, you know, pause and think what you want to put in there. Then you put in, then you fill your jar with sand. Then you become a happy jar. Take care of your assets if you are in the Amber Zone. Your time, your energy, your priorities. And I pray that you can also have a refocus and maybe a rededication to God to say, okay, God, you are the one who give me gifts. You have given me good gifts, but how do I transit from good gifts to God things? Show me how, and then make the change. I want to believe for you, because that's where your power and your passion will be. Amen? The traffic light is not complete without the red sign. And the red sign means stop. Yeah, I told my grandson, you know, when you see the red sign, you've got to stop. You've got to stop. And that's found in Ephesians 4:16. I want to read that scripture to you from him. The whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Again, work, the word energy, yeah? I'm going to show you the graph again. Is that quadrant that I labeled miscast in the area of service? That's in red. Because you must stop doing those things if you are miscast in that area of service. Because when you are able to do your part, like a body, in love, you're able to do the activity in love, the energy will come, the power and the passion will come. But if there is no love, no motivation, no gifting, then that work becomes drudgery and the work becomes painful. Have you seen people work in pain? It's very painful to watch them, right? Because it's painful. Sulky faces, no joy, complaining, resentment, just painful. And if you are continually overwhelmed, continually stretched, continually overcommitted, then maybe you are in the wrong zone as well. And if you are there in that zone for too long, maybe it's time to stop. Now, I have a few disclaimers. Sometimes you feel this way because you are in a new role. That's okay, right? You do a new job, you do a new thing, you become a new mother, you become a new grandmother, a great grandfather, a new job, overwhelmed, overcommitted. Yeah, of course. It's all right. It's a new role. But if you continually feel this way for years and months, better stop. You may be miscast in the area of service, yeah? If it is persistent, you need to stop. You really may be in the red zone. You may have hit a wall. You may have reached a ceiling. Your energy is depleted. You need to stop whatever you are doing and really go and spend time with the Lord. No one in the church should be in areas where there's no gifting, no motivation. That means you're miscast in the area of service. I know we are very enduring people. Endurance is one thing. Unnecessary suffering is another thing. So don't unnecessarily suffer because you're in the wrong place. Can you imagine if your gift is in the intellect? You love teaching, you love, you know, giving a word of wisdom, and then somebody asks you, can you lead a miracle rally and you be the one to pray for all those people that come for the miracle rally altar and pray for healing for them? What's going to happen? You go there and you want to teach, but the people want to see healing. They want to see miracle. It's a mismatch of the need and your gift. Can you imagine if your gift is in tongues? You love to speak in tongues. You love to interpret in tongues. And you go to a prayer meeting that says, no tongues, please. What a mismatch of gifting and need. Seek the Lord to give you the gift so that you can use the gift as He calls you to. And God loves to give you gifts that will make you be effective with God's people, to build up God's people. Does that make sense to you? Okay. Now, don't stop now and, you know, without thinking, go and stop whatever you are doing. Pastor Aaron will come to me. But really, is to take time to think through. There are some things that you may need to stop because you have been experiencing no sparks of joy. And maybe it's a mismatch. It's been too long. And you really need to give it time to really seek the Lord. Yeah, the Lord wants to give us an abundant life. The Lord wants to give us a life that is full of His power and His passion. And He's no lack. His Spirit has no lack. No lack. He's diverse, but also very creative. Last one is this. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 15, let's read that. I was in Wednesday prayer meeting, and I was praying, and one of the words, one of the two words which I pray, I've never prayed these two words before, and I just prayed safety net. And then when I was preparing the sermon, I said, oh, that can be the fourth point. All right. Yeah, not very excited. I am. When you find the right word, you know. So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip His people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. I'm going to go to the graph one more last time. And the quadrant, if you can't see, though, actually nettings, is that safety net. And over there is discipleship and mentoring. Discipleship and mentoring. This is a conundrum. First of all, is you cannot be fully developed if you don't serve. Am I correct? You want to be developed, you got to serve, right? So you cannot be fully developed if you don't serve. But then if you serve and you are not fully developed, then you are not producing quality work. Isn't it a conundrum? Isn't it a confusing problem and a difficult problem? See, you need to understand God's character. Okay, God is not a Kung Fu master. How many of you watch Kung Fu Master? Yeah. Kung Fu Masters will require the disciples to be totally equipped with all the Kung Fu skills. They will go to the uphill and learn up all the Kung Fu skills. Then when they are totally practiced and totally competent in their skills, then they will go downhill. Then they will go and do what they need to do to demonstrate their skill. God is not a Kung Fu Master. God is a master bodybuilder. He positions all the parts of the body ready for action. Every part is important. No one part is more important than the others. And the idea is that we all build one another up. The idea is the strong will bear the weak. If you are strong, don't be proud. You're supposed to carry the weak. If you are weak, don't be proud. Let the strong carry you. The strong bears the weak. And that's why I call it the safety net. Because when one leg is hurt, the whole body, do you realize when one leg of yours is hurt, the whole body actually cooperates to carry you forward? If one finger is hurt, do you realize? I mean, a lot of you are chefs or cooks, right? When one finger is hurt, somehow all your other fingers will come into great action and compensate for the one that is hurt. The body is the same. We all have spiritual gifts. And if we are stretched, if we are weak, we are needing support, We need to count on mature mentors, mature counselors, mature guides to help disciple us. Because the Bible tells us in Proverbs 15:22, in the midst of counselors, there is safety. God provides the safety net of counselors, of guides, of mature people to give you a nudge, sometimes to give you a knock, so that they know how to bring you to the place that God wants to see you in. God wants to bring you to the green zone. And mentors know how to bring you from the red zone, from the yellow zone, to orange zone or the amber zone, to the green zone. God provide that safety net so that your green zone becomes greener, your amber zone becomes a green zone, and your red zone can be redirected, can be revamped, can be revised, so that you don't waste energy doing a lot of things that will exhaust you, because time and energy are your assets. If you don't use it properly, you go really tired very quickly. And I feel that because we are a family church, we can do mentoring, we can do discipling in a very organic way, very organic way. Some of us are baby boomers, those who are born between 1946 to 1964. Can I just see your hand if you don't want to reveal it just a little bit? Yeah, okay, I can see. Baby boomers, okay. How many of you are born before 1946? Before 1946, that's correct. Okay, no hands. You are the silent generation, so quite silent in our church. So we have a lot of baby boomers. Okay, and how many of you are born between 1965 to 1979? Okay, thank you. You are the Gen X. How many of you are born between 1980 to 1994? Yeah, I can see hands. Millennials, Gen Y. And 1995 to 2012? Yeah, I see one that is a Gen X raising hands. I can tell. I got the gift of discernment. No. I'm joking. You know, he's pointing to the sun. Raise your hand. 1995, they are the Gen Z, and the Gen Alpha 2013 to 2025. Who are you? Probably in children's church. Okay. The matured in the Lord can model and mentor the maturing. That's why it's very fascinating. We've got a church of a great range of ages. We can help them move in spiritual gifts. We can help empower them. And I would say to the mature, if you are mature in the Lord, and we have been in the Lord for many, many years, to the mature, I say this to you. You are actually God's answer for the needs of others. And you are in a position of authority actually to speak. Do you know that when you speak and you have got the age and the authority and the gifting and the grace and the love, your words are very powerful. Very powerful. That's why don't anyhow say things. Because your words are very powerful. Yeah? The matured can help the maturing. I remember when many years ago, I hit a ceiling in my preaching ministry. I really felt that I stagnated. I felt that I don't have a lot of good sermons to give you anymore. It's like dried up somewhere. And then I had a dream. I had a dream that I was to speak at the home church Grace Assembly in Singapore. I had a dream just that, you know, they have a new auditorium, and the Lord gave me a dream. And so I wasn't very surprised. Very soon after that, I got a call to ask me to go and preach. And when I preach, I can't remember what I preach. But the thing I remember is this. I was introduced as not the speaker from Australia, la la la. No. As a daughter of grace. Just like we are daughters and sons of grace. Do you know that? Yeah, daughters and sons. So I was a daughter of grace. And because of that credential or that position, Pastor David Lim, after the service, came and had a chat and was willing to take me under his wing as his mentor. I was under his mentorship for 4 years. I want to cry because Pastor David Lim is a very honest critic, and he will tell me where I've gone wrong. And for the first few months when I was under him, I really thought I'm not going to be able to preach anymore because all my sermons cannot meet the criteria. But I persisted, and he persisted, and we persisted for 4 years. We need to be of help to one another. Some of us have hit ceilings, hit walls. Hey, we have got people in our midst that is a safety net that can catch you and build you up, just like I have the safety net in Pastor David at that time to be able to see something that I could do. And I've preached for many years after that. And still preaching, and still enjoying preaching. You can enjoy those things that God has given you. Maybe you need a nudge. Maybe you need a knock. I had knocks, hard knocks. But maybe you need a knock so that you can be in the place that God wants you to be. I pray that in the journey, in your journey like a road, you will have a lot of time where you can go, 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 go. But if there are times when you need to pause, please pause so that you can really reorientate yourself again to do God things. Because in God's things, in doing God's things, you will enjoy the power and the passion of the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit is at work in you, His energy is transferred to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I pray that you will grow in your green zone. With your spiritual gifts, you will go the extra mile. And then in your amber zone, I pray that you'll be more focused. Remember your three assets, your time, your energy, your priorities. You need to really work those things out because you want to be more focused so that you don't just do good things, you want to do God things. And if you're in the red zone, stop, ask for help. There is a safety net of people in the church that are in the Father's business. Of grooming, of helping, of building people up. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are here. We don't have to feel you. You are here. And you are here to affirm us, first of all, that we are your children. And that you are pleased to be that giver. You will give us gifts to equip us and to help build this body up. GCC is your body. You love it. You will nourish it. You will pour a lot of tonic into it to make sure we get nutritious food and nutritious gifts. We thank you for that. I pray, dear Lord, spiritual gifts will begin to flourish. We begin to occupy a lot of green zone. There'll be a lot of go, 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 Lord, in our midst. Not because of adrenaline, not because of our good ideas or the good things, oh Lord, but because the Spirit of God is zealous, zealous for GCC, zealous for our vision that we want to be a people of influence in Perth and beyond. Thank you, dear Lord, that you still believe in us. You have faith in us. We love it, Lord. And we just want to say we love you so much and we receive all the good things that you want for us. Thank you, Jesus.